Our 4th of July yesterday, I pulled out the traditional battle hymn of the Republic. So, is everyone hearing okay? Yeah? Cool. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the mountains where the bricks of wrath are stored. He has crucified the lightning of his terrible sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, hallelujah.
Lord,
name, Lord Jesus. You're worthy to be praised. Thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace, oh God. Just have your way today in our lives. In your name, amen.
Father God, I come before you and I thank you for this day that you have given us. I thank you, Lord, that we can meet here in this parking lot, that we can be a part of this service, that we can be together and bring praise and honor and glory to you, Father God. Lord, even if we're in our living rooms, even if we're at our homes, God, we can still lift up your name and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we praise you for that opportunity this morning. Lord, we thank you that we live in this land where we are free to do those things, free to honor you, free to worship you. Father God, we commit this time to you now this morning and pray that you are honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm trying to find the right spot here where I'm not humming. We good out there? All right. Yesterday was, of course, the 4th of July, our nation's 244th Independence Day celebration. Think about that for a minute. Almost 250 years of ups and downs, of battles and controversy and victories and successes. Almost 250 years of changing and redefining what freedom is and how it applies to each new generation. Today we're going to reflect on and celebrate that idea of freedom. And we're going to start this morning. I'm going to share a portion of a speech that was given on July 4th, 1986, by then President Ronald Reagan. My fellow Americans, my remarks tonight will be brief, but it's worth remembering that all the celebration of this day is rooted in history. It's recorded that shortly after the Declaration of Independence was signed in Philadelphia, celebrations took place throughout the land. Many of the former colonists, now Americans, set off cannons and marched in fife and drum parades. What a contrast to the sober scene that had taken place a short time earlier in Independence Hall. 56 men came forward to sign the parchment. It was noted at the time that they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors. And that was more than just rhetoric. Each of those men knew the penalty for treason to the crown. We must all hang together, Benjamin Franklin said, or assuredly we will all hang separately. And John Hancock, it is said, wrote his signature in large script so King George could see it without his spectacles on. They were brave. They stayed brave throughout all the bloodshed of the coming years. Their courage created a nation built on a universal claim to human dignity, on the proposition that every man, woman, and child had a right to a future of freedom. For just a moment, let's listen again to those words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is a hope that someday every people and every nation of the world will know the blessings of liberty. All through our history, presidents and leaders have spoken of national unity and warned us of the real obstacle to moving forward the boundaries of freedom. The only permanent danger to the hope that is America comes from within. It's easy enough to dismiss this as a kind of familiar exhortation, yet the truth is that even two of our greatest founding fathers, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, once learned this lesson late in life. They worked so close together in Philadelphia for independence, but once that was gained and the government was formed, something called partisan politics began to get in the way. After a bitter and divisive campaign, Jefferson defeated Adams for the presidency in 1800. And the night before Jefferson's inauguration, Adams slipped away to Boston, disappointed, brokenhearted, and bitter. For years, their estrangement lasted. But then, when both had retired, they began, through their letter writing, to speak to each other again. "It carries me back," Jefferson wrote, "to the times when, beset with difficulties and dangers, we were fellow laborers in the same cause, struggling for what is most valuable to man. Laboring always at the same oar, we rowed through the storm with heart and hand." It was their last gift to us, this lesson in brotherhood, in tolerance for each other, this insight into America's strength as a nation. My fellow Americans, it falls to us to keep faith with them and all the great Americans of our past. Believe me, if there's one impression I carry with me after the privilege of holding for 5.5 years the same office held by Adams, Jefferson, and Lincoln, it is this: that the things that unite us, America's past, of which we are so proud, our hopes and our aspirations for the future of a world and its much-loved country, these things far outweigh what little divides us. And so tonight, we reaffirm that Jew and Gentile, we are one nation under God, that black and white, we are one nation, indivisible, that Republican and Democrat, we are all Americans tonight. With heart in hand, through whatever trial and travails, we pledge ourselves to each other and to the cause of human freedom, that cause that has given light to the land and hope to this world. Can you believe that those words were spoken 34 years ago? It's almost as if President Reagan could see America today and our need for unity among all people, our need to come together and defend our unalienable rights. Yet I have to tell you, the words that spoke the loudest to me when I listened to and read through that speech again were these words: "The only permanent danger to the hope that is America comes from within." I have for a long time said to my kids, said to other people, America will not be captured or conquered. America will destroy itself. We will fall apart with all of the division and infighting. We'll fall apart with all the self-centeredness and hatred that is out there. And unfortunately, that seems more real today than it has ever before. We are a nation with more individual rights and privileges than perhaps any other nation ever in this world. We are not supposed to be a people that tear each other down. We are supposed to be a nation that boosts each other up. We are to reach higher than before. We are to realize more than in the past. We are to experience greater purpose in life. There are many areas in life that we can indeed experience freedom. Socially, economically, politically, and most importantly, spiritually. We are blessed to live in a nation where we can experience all of those freedoms. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget just how blessed we truly are. That being said, we do need to take a moment this morning to thank a very special group of people. We are profoundly grateful for those who have gone before us and paved this nation's path to freedom. We are overwhelmed with pride and the willing sacrifice of our nation's active and retired military personnel. None of us could ever imagine trading this freedom that we have today, this freedom that has been so vigorously fought for over these past almost 250 years of our history. So a huge, huge thank you this morning to every single veteran and active man and woman in our United States military. As proud as we are about fighting for our nation's freedom, which gives us three of those four freedoms we talked about just a moment ago, how hard this morning do we fight for our true freedom? That final piece of freedom, our spiritual freedom. That's where every one of us come in this morning, whether we're watching live or whether we're sitting in the parking lot. You and I, believers in Jesus Christ, born again disciples of the one true living God, we know a freedom that no one else knows. We know a freedom that extends far beyond the shores of this great nation. We know a freedom that can never be altered or restricted. We know a freedom that needs to be fought for. How hard do you fight for that freedom? Interestingly enough, this morning, that true freedom that we fight for, that we celebrate, that true freedom isn't really even about being free. It's about surrender. It's about self-sacrifice. It's about obedience and love and encouragement. Real, true freedom is found in one place, and that is the arms of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is the freedom from hurt and heartache, from pain and suffering. It is there, wrapped in the loving arms, that we find freedom from sin and death. That is the greatest freedom any of us, anywhere in this world, can ever experience. Freedom from the human condition of sin a freedom that we are all called to fight for. Excuse me for one moment. I don't know about you, but the wind in my mic was driving me nuts. Our true freedom is a freedom worth fighting for. Paul wrote a letter to the Galatians, and part of his reason for writing that was to correct some errant thinking and teaching among those that he wrote that letter to. See, they were confused about freedom. Some of them claimed to be free, but they were still bound by the law, by man's do's and don'ts. Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 22. The scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner to sin, so that what was promised being given through faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners to the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. Paul wanted to correct those that tried to add the condition of the law to the freedom that God gave us through Jesus. Elsewhere in that chapter, we would read of those that you would use their newfound freedom as a license to do whatever they pleased. Galatians 5, verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Paul, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, wrote to help others understand what freedom in Christ was truly all about. Yes, there would be forgiveness of sins and a glorious hope of eternity with the Father through Jesus, but that freedom from sin also meant a willingness to surrender. Surrender to the Savior. That very idea of surrender goes against our nature. Our brains have a hard time understanding how surrender can equal freedom. Yet they are inseparable. To be free, we must be willing to surrender to Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. It is in that surrender that we find salvation, which is our true freedom. In his letter, Paul talked about two extremes, and he even gave us some warnings about them. Galatians 5, 4. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. The law may have led us to Christ, but it stopped there. It does not bring us freedom. Christ brought us freedom. A little later in chapter 5, Paul gives a list, and I will very much say it's a partial list of sins. And he did that as an example to those who were trying to justify their actions. And he writes this, Galatians 5:21, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot take the freedom Christ has given us and use it as an excuse to live however we so desire. Instead, we must take that gift of freedom and give it right back to Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one who provided it for us. In that surrender, we will be set free indeed. In addition to knowing true freedom, we have a responsibility to share that freedom. We started talking about this a little bit last week when we talked about how much we are like the disciples. Well, we also have a calling just like the disciples had. We are told to go and make other disciples, to share the good news, the freedom that we have been given. Matthew 28:19, go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus gave that command to his disciples, yes, but it is an enduring command, one that is to be fulfilled by all generations to come. It is not to stop. It is part of our responsibility as free people. We are to share that freedom that we were given to everyone. We are to shout it from the mountaintops, declare it in the valleys, teach it to our children so that others may know the freedom that we know. Freedom in any sense of the word is not something that just simply happens. Freedom has to be fought for. It has to be worked at. It has to be deliberately sought after. I know it all seems a little bit backwards, but freedom has to be fought for. Freedom indeed takes surrender. This life that we live, this Christian life, it has its ups and downs. It has its mountaintops and its valleys. There are times of persecution and there are times of peace. But through it all, we must choose to surrender and obey. In doing that, we get to experience a freedom that can never be taken away from us. A freedom that no one can ever call into question. A freedom that lasts for all eternity. And it happens all because of one man's sacrifice. Because one man took our sin upon his shoulders. We have the freedom we have today because Jesus died and rose again for you and for me, so that we can be free. Do you remember this morning the line that I said stuck out to me the most about President Reagan's speech? Let me remind you, it was this one. The only permanent danger to the hope that is America comes from within. Hope you'll give me the liberty this morning. I'm going to change a couple of words of that line and reread it this way. The only permanent danger to the hope that we have in our Savior comes from within. In one sense, ladies and gentlemen, our true freedom lies in our own hands. No, we cannot earn or in any way gain the salvation that Jesus brought us through the cross of Calvary. But you and I have to choose to fight for that. You and I have to choose to defend it. You and I have to choose to be committed to it, to press against the enemy who strives to take it away from us. We have to be willing to fight for our freedom. And at the same time, we have to choose to surrender. To surrender to our Savior and all that He has in store for us. All so that we can experience that true freedom that He has given to us. I think again this morning about President Reagan's speech. 56 men put their lives on the line for freedom. For a freedom that may or may not have lasted. At that point, they didn't have a clue. We are given today an opportunity to put our lives on the line for freedom. But it's for a freedom that will never, ever end. We get to choose today to write our names in big, large print like John Hancock did, so that all can see our names on that document of freedom. As we wrap up our celebration of freedom this weekend, let us not forget the true cost. Great sacrifice was made so that you and I could be free. Not just live in the land of the free, but be free. Jesus came to this earth. He gave His life so that we could indeed be free. John 8:36. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Today we are going to remember and celebrate that freedom, that true freedom, by joining together in communion. So I'm going to ask you, those that are here with us this morning, get your elements ready that you were given on the way in. If you are home watching us on livecast, I'll give you a moment to grab your bread and juice. Pastor Brian is going to come up to lead us in a little bit of worship again this morning. Stay with us as we get ready for communion. Ushers, if you would make your way around a little bit, I understand that perhaps some people did not get their elements on the way in. So our ushers will walk around just a little bit and pass out more if they are needed.
There's a place where mercy reigns, never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. With all the love comes like a flood, comes flowing down. are powerless. When my heart has peace with God and forgiveness, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all you. I'm in all you. Where your love ran red, my sin washed white. I owe all. I owe all to you. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. When your love ran red, my sin washed white. I owe all to you. I owe all to you. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white. I owe all to you. I owe all to you. I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus.
I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father God, we come before you this morning, and we remember the absolute beautiful freedom that you have given us. Lord, because you surrendered, because you laid down your life, because you died on our behalf, we are set free. God, thank you for those wounds. Thank you for those stripes. Thank you for willingly suffer on our behalf. Let's partake of the bread together this morning. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Again this morning, Lord, we are privileged. We realize that. We acknowledge that. We recognize that this morning. We are privileged to stand here in true freedom because of the blood you shed that poured out of that cross, that poured out of your hands and feet and side and brow and covered us. It cleansed us. It washed us. It took away our sins. We have that freedom because you provided it for us. God, nothing we can do can earn that or repay that. All we can do is say thank you, Father God, for choosing us to be your servants, for choosing us to pour out that blood on us, on me, that we can be made clean. Let us drink of the cup together this morning. Father, what a joy. What a joy and privilege it's been to gather here. Outside of this building, yes, but we're gathered together. What an incredible joy that is this morning, Father God. And we thank you for it. God, I pray, as we leave this place today, we would remember the freedom that we have in you. And that we would do everything within our ability to share that freedom with everyone that we come in contact with, that they too might know that true freedom. Thank you, Father God, for your wonderful blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless and have an incredible week in Jesus.